And joining me live in studio this morning is Drew Hanick, a local resident who had a cool experience to go to Israel for a Baha'i faith celebration, and one of just a handful of Americans that were invited to attend. In fact, a pretty select group worldwide is what it sounds like. Good morning, Drew. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Duke. I'm doing great. I'm still processing my wonderful trip to Israel. It was unlike anything I have experienced ever in my life, regardless of how large of a gathering I've been in and the purpose of the gathering.
Well, let's talk about this gathering purpose first. It's a Baha'i faith gathering. That is correct?
Yes.
And so tell us, this was a 100-year anniversary from kind of celebrating the life of a Baha'i leader that passed away.
That's
is that
right.
correct? Tell us about
That's
that.
That's right. Abdul Baha was the son of Baha'u'llah, who established the Baha'i faith, and he was charged by his father to guide the Baha'is during his lifetime. In 1921, he passed away. Abdul Baha was the example of how to live a life of service without regard to any limitations of who or what creed, what faith, what tribe, what nation. He served the world, and this was a commemoration of his life and his passing.
Okay.
His funeral was held the day after he passed, and you think about 1921 and what kind of transportation and communication there was then. 10,000 people came to his funeral the very next day, from the poorest of the poor to the leaders of the governments around the Middle East, that we call the Middle East today, but Palestine and those areas.
Sure. So this celebration was kind of 100 years afterwards and a chance for the Baha'i faith to get together again. Now, you said you were just one of 14 Americans from the continental U.S. that were able to attend. So how did that work? How were you selected as one of the lucky ones to go?
I was one of the lucky ones. There are 12 regional councils in the Baha'i faith, and I serve on one of those, which represents the Northern Plains, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. Each council in the United States was allowed to select one person by lot to attend, and then two members of our National Spiritual Assembly, a man and a woman, were also selected. So there were 14 of us who went to Israel, and all 14 were able to go, some not at the very beginning of the week. We kept checking in on each other. Have you seen so-and-so? But all 14 members were able to be there.
And it was kind of a similar process worldwide, right?
Yes,
through
worldwide.
How they selected who could go?
So there were 197 National Spiritual Assemblies represented and 208 regional councils. Not every country has regional councils. It depends on their growth and their population.
Okay. So tell us about the actual celebration. What took place while you were there?
So initially, for the first 3 days, I was there for a full week, and for the first 3 days, we visited the places where Abdul Baha lived and labored, serving the poor, giving counsel to government leaders. And then, after the first 3 days, we gathered for the commemorations. And the first commemoration was to acknowledge the will and testament of Abdul Baha that established the administration of the Baha'i faith. Today, there is no one single individual that has authority in the Baha'i faith. It is only by authoritative bodies.
Okay.
So, even though I serve on a council, I have no greater authority than any other Baha'i in the country or in the region.
Gotcha. Okay. So again, we're speaking with Drew Hanick this morning. She was at that celebration in Israel. And so that's kind of the first few days. What else happened while you were there?
Well, and then we had a wonderful visit to the home of Abdul Baha in Haifa, Israel, where he passed. And there were over 600 people there. And so small groups for 15 minutes could go and pray and reflect in the room where he passed, in his home, in the evening. The Baha'i day starts at sunset. So these all started at sunset. Then, because Abdu'l-Bahá passed at 1 a.m., the actual observance and commemoration began at midnight.
I see.
And we had prayers and talks for about an hour. They were in a multitude of languages, and that was one of the interesting things, because in the mornings we had gatherings that highlighted different aspects of why we were together. They were in English, but then they were simultaneously translated into seven other languages. And I was fascinated by the languages. They were French, Spanish, which you would think, Russian, Arabic, Swahili, and Hindi. And right now, the seventh one escapes me. But you can see the diversity of the languages that the people came with as their native language.
Certainly a worldwide event is what it sounds like.
It was a worldwide event. I was able to meet people from the jungles of Panama and Papua New Guinea, people from European capital cities. So you get the idea that this really was a worldwide gathering. And unlike Americans, many countries still have a traditional dress. So on one of the days, most people wore their traditional dress, and it was like a flower garden of humanity. It was just, the other interesting thing is, for a whole week, here we have people who had never spoke each other's languages, were maybe eating foods that were a little different than each other they were used to, yet I never heard anyone complain. I never heard an unkind word. People were embracing each other through heart. We were given strict instructions. We could not hug or handshake, and everybody followed that. So there were lots of smiles and lots of air hugs and fist bumps and all. But for the majority of the time we were all together, we did not have to mask up because we followed the Israeli government's requirements to enter the country.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that was a COVID test 72 hours before you flew, being vaccinated within 6 months of arriving, and then having a COVID test on arrival at the airport. So, and then you had to self-isolate in your rooms until your test results came back. Everybody's came back negative. So we were free to associate with each other without masks and all. The only place they asked us to wear masks were in the shuttle buses, because that was such close quarters.
Well, Drew, this has been such a fascinating thing to learn more about. When you reflect on this experience that you had, what's one, maybe two things that were highlights for you that you'll always think, man, that was really cool, or what, maybe something you weren't expecting? What are some of those?
I think the biggest thing was to see how humanity really can be together in peace, and that it isn't a dream. It can be reality if we set our egos aside and strive for a higher spiritual power rather than always looking for material answers. If we look for some spiritual answers, we can progress. That the power of unity is so amazing. People say, everybody looks so joyful in your pictures, and it truly was a joy, even though it was a solemn occasion.
Sure. Drew Hanick in studio this morning, a local resident who recently traveled with the Baha'i Faith to Israel for this celebration and returned just a short time ago. Drew, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this experience. Sounds really fascinating. Anything we missed that you wanted to mention?
I would like to suggest it's on YouTube, or it's also on the Baha'is of Star Valley Facebook page, a link to The Exemplar, which gives the life of Abdu'l-Bahá. And just a side note, he actually traveled to America, and on his cross-country trips, he went to the Utah State Fair.
Okay.
And because he was very interested in agricultural advancements.
Gotcha. That's fascinating stuff. That again is Drew Hanick with the Baha'i Faith and the celebration. Drew, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Drew.